All right, guys, welcome back. EYL. Yeah, exciting. Another exciting episode.
Another one.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to jump right into it. We covered investing a few times, stock market investing. And
shout out to Trapper.
Shout out to Trapper.
Shout out to Trapper.
Shout out to Quentin.
Shout out to Quentin. Q, what up?
That's our guy. Yeah, for sure. This is going to be the third installment of investing. Yeah. And we're going to talk about some things that we didn't talk about the other two times. Futures market, day trading, some other stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's important for people to get a full range of investing.
There's a lot of stuff being given out as misinformation, people being misled. So
hopefully
we don't clear up some things today.
Yeah. So we got our guy Ian Dunlap. First and foremost, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah.
Appreciate
Ian is an investment expert. As you can see, looks the part.
Trying to make my mom proud.
he's an investment expert. He's been featured on Huffington Post, Rolling Out magazine. He's spoken on the same stage with Eric Thomas. I got ET.
Yeah.
And he has a whole platform called Red Panda where he teaches people how to invest. And he has personal clients as well. So it's going to be an interesting conversation. As I said, we're going to talk about some things that we haven't spoke about yet. And it's important for people to know. So the first thing I want to talk about is day trading. But before we get into day trading, how did you get into investment space? Like, how did you get into this space as far as investing yourself first and foremost, and then taking that and then teaching other people to invest?
Yeah, I first heard about it from my seventh grade teacher, Mr. Smolin. He was an older white gentleman. I didn't listen to him.
Yeah.
I wish I would have, because at the beginning of class, in math class, he would go through the newspaper and take us through the highs and the lows. And I was like, I don't care about that. I was too busy listening to Mobb Deep.
Yeah.
You know,
we can relate.
Yeah, so
it's a fact.
Mr. Smolin, if you're still living, sorry I didn't listen. But fast forward to 2007 during the recession, one of my buddies, Art, he's from Birmingham. One of my friends was like, we need to talk to this guy that I went to school with because he just made a killing in the market. And I'm like, huh? And he's black?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. So I talked to Art, and Art was like, man, I don't know what you're doing, but I need you to put every dollar you have into the market.
Told you that?
Yeah.
Okay.
2007, like, time frame.
And you know, Kramer was on TV screaming.
Yeah.
I remember in the Midwest, a lot of my family members like being out of work because the recession hurt everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't listen. I was like, I ain't gonna listen to this dude. What the hell are he talking about? But meanwhile, he's working at one of the biggest investment companies in the country. Put every dollar he had into it. He caught Citi at a dollar. And 3 months later, he was up 500% from that. So once I saw him do it, with him being black and acting black, being proud of who he is, I was like, I need to listen to this guy. So he took me under his wing and he threw me in the deep end of the pool. He was like, if you're serious, you are going to do everything I tell you because I already know what to do.
What's the age difference between you and him?
12 years.
12 years. Okay.
Yeah. So
like he's the OG now.
Yeah. He's OG. All right. I love you, man. I appreciate it. So I think it's really important for us to share our stories, especially being black. Because we under-invest, we under-save, we're under-capitalized. But yeah, he gave me my start in investing and introduced me to it.
Then you just took it and just ran with it.
You had to.
Yeah. Was there anybody in the family, like maybe mom or dad, that had a background in business?
My dad was the one who inspired me to be an entrepreneur. Okay. So my dad's had a construction company since 22. So all of my work ethic I get from him, how strong and like direct and to the point I am. Mm-hmm. Because like business is tough. And then he was on business in the 80s and 90s. There was no internet. And they did well in their industry with yellow page ads, follow up, direct mail. So it was harder.
Yeah,
so when he sees it now, he was like, you can text people and get business. He was like, you better get your ass up at 5 o'clock and just text 200-300 people. I had to get out and buy TV ads for $25,000 and didn't know where they were going to be placed.
Yeah, for our younger folks, yellow pages was a yellow book
that
was mailed to your house once a year with numbers.
Google is the new yellow
way page. Easier now.
Are you from Indiana originally, right?
Yeah, East Chicago, Indiana.
East Chicago. So that's like right outside of Gary, Indiana, right?
5 minutes away.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody.
So I didn't grow up in like some amazing financial ecosystem. And we were poor for a long time. Like the reason why I don't even like the Bulls to this day, like we got WGN programming, which is Chicago programming. But when the Bulls were winning the titles, like our lights were off in the winter. So like most of my family is still to this day, like lower income and poor. So like a lot of me giving back is because like I want to reach them and show like what's possible if you apply. Because everybody, I think in every hood knows what to do. They're not given a direct path to be able to use that talent or work ethic to be able to make money. Because we all know people in the hood that are like stars and have potential, but just went down the wrong path. So
Yeah, it's all about information. Yeah. That's why we're here. Yeah, so, absolutely. All right. So the futures market, right?
Yep.
Because we hear about this a lot, like CNBC. If you ever watch CNBC, they talk about the futures market.
Yep.
And they talk about futures. So not the rapper future.
Yeah, yeah, I'm about
not
to say, the rapper future. We know future as a rapper. Yeah, yeah. Life so is good. Shout out to that.
What is it? What is futures?
What are they?
Yeah,
are they?
Futures is the highest paying asset class that no one knows about.
What are the asset classes?
So you have stocks that you can invest in. You have ETFs. You have mutual funds. But futures pays the most out of all of them. So for every $1 that you can invest in, let's say, and get in the stock, the ES, which is the S&P 500, pays 125 times more, and bonds pay 312 times more. So if you go to CNBC in the morning, like you said, that sets the tone for what the market is going to do because it's open 23 hours a day.
So what exactly is it? Like, what's the futures?
Futures basically is you're making a guess or a bet whether the market is going to go up or down. But with certain asset classes, like, you know, the market is going to go up. Mm-hmm. Generally, gold is going to go down until something bad happens, like the Iran attack. We know crude is going to be volatile. So it's what institutional investors use to gauge for what the market is going to do. And so, like, for example, I'll say, okay, who do you think, or do you think LeBron is going to average 10 points this year or more?
Definitely more.
You just place the bet on LeBron averaging more than 10.
Right.
That's all the futures market is.
So the futures market is like after hour trading?
Yes.
And it's pretty much like it's like calls and puts on the options,
but it's worldwide, and then it's 23 hours a day. So at the open, the American Open at 8:30, that's when you have the most volume on it. But most of us, especially that are black, don't know about it because we were the asset class that were traded.
Why 23, not 24 hours a day?
Because it has an hour of rest, and then the way the cycle goes from America to Asian market and London market, it's like a little break in between.
Yeah, I got like that. You know, like, if you have like files, you get like these channels from Asia.
Yeah.
And they show the future markets. Yep. I got
so you. I'm going to ask you what you just said. I'm going to elaborate on that. But before, so all right, just for everybody to understand. So stocks, I'm buying a stock, regular stock.
Yep.
And I'm just buying it at that price.
Yes.
If it goes up, I make money. If it goes down, I lose money.
Yeah.
Futures is, for lack of a better word, is like kind of a guess where you're kind of predicting it's going to go up. Like, it's $10 now, but you think it's going to go up to 15.
Yes.
So it's a future. That's why it's called futures, because it's like you're moving.
You're guessing the future.
You're guessing the future.
Yeah.
And you can guess the future if it goes up, or you can guess the future if it goes down.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Absolutely. And then you can make money whether the asset goes up or down.
Now, what are we basing that off of? Is there information that
it's tied to the price of the S&P 500 and the bonds market?
Okay.
So long term, I tell people to invest in index funds. So SPY, DIA, and then I'm like, trade the future. Because if you buy it long term, you can look in your account and see where it's going. Most days, the S&P 500 is going to go up unless Trump does something crazy, which is all the time. But that volatility even provides some movement. So if the market falls down 500 points, you can profit when the market goes down. You can't do that with stocks.
So I'm sorry.
And the S&P 500, for anybody that doesn't know, it stands for Standard & Poor's 500.
Yes.
500 companies, like a microcosm of different stocks. So a lot of times you hear the market is up, but the market is down. They're not talking about every single stock in the stock market. They're using Dow Jones, S&P 500, S&P 500, Russell 2000. So S&P 500 is like 500 stocks from different sectors.
Yep.
And if all of those are moving in one direction or another, then pretty much the market is moving in that same direction.
Yeah, think of the S&P as like the NBA. It's like the 500 best players in one basket. Mm-hmm. And then the Dow 30 is like the best 30. So when I tell people to invest in an index fund, I'm like, imagine we was at the park and you had to pick five people. And I'm like, okay, you can get Giannis, LeBron, Curry when he's not hurt, Harden, and Westbrook. And we play against five other players that are just regular players. Who do you think goes to win? All-star team.
So you said that black people was traded.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
The financial markets, unfortunately, was based off of slavery. So we were the first commodity actually traded. So most insurance companies got their start from slavery and insurance slaves. And then futures contracts, they would make a guess about how many slaves would actually make it across land. And so that's why most of us don't know about it, because we were the thing that were traded. We're not supposed to know.
You said futures contract. What is that, and how do you buy that?
So let's say hypothetically you had 1,000 slaves. The companies would guess that maybe 560 to 700 of them would end up dying, and they would have a contract on it that if they died, they would still make money off of it via insurance.
It's funny. It's crazy that you say that, because it's like yesterday I went to Schaumburg. You ever heard of Schaumburg?
Mm-mm.
So the Schomburg Library is in Harlem.
Harlem. Okay.
And it's world famous.
Okay.
And it's like African American museum type. Yeah. But it's not a museum, it's a library, exhibition, stuff like that. So long story short, just yesterday, I went there randomly, and I was in there and I was looking at different things. So I looked on the wall, so I saw the contracts for the company that predated New York Life.
Yep.
I forgot the name of it, but it showed the contracts, the life insurance contracts on slaves.
And the ships,
So I saw it, I'm gonna get to that. So then in the book, it's interesting, because in the book, it has like causes of death, age that they died. So it was all kinds of stuff. Like they like a lot of people died from inflammation of the stomach, diarrhea, all kinds of stuff. But it was, so it's a book, and it's like a lot, like that's how New York Life Insurance got started.
Yep.
That was before that they changed the name, and it was based off of insuring slave masters on their slaves.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but racism is America's first startup. So the country is built off of us, but of course when we died, like you just said, they profited heavily. Like when you lose that many quote unquote commodities, you have to have an insurance policy in place to be able to cover it. So everything is tied together. Insurance, Wall Street. I mean, Wall Street was one of the biggest slave markets before it turned into like the economic center that it is now. Like slaves were traded on Wall Street.
Yeah, I actually took our summer group to the Black Burial Ground in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And they give a detailed exploration of that whole that whole situation.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And once you dive into the information, it's fascinating but heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And the ships too. It's like I saw it on the ships where it's like they have people just like lined up.
Yeah.
So it's like the a lot of people not going to make it, cuz it's like a month to get from Africa to America. And if you in a ship lined up with 300 people right next to each other, like people going to the bathroom on themselves, it's like it's not really an efficient way to travel. So half of the slaves, even more, died just from that. Like I mean, just like you can't. So like you said, like so that all comes into like the insurance.
Yes.
But it's interesting as far as like the commodities, because it's like, okay, like how many is actually going to make it?
Yeah.
30%, 40%. We could put bets on that, calls and puts on it, and if you can make money if a certain amount of people make it.
Yeah, and also in during times of travesty, like when crude shot down, you can make money as the market is falling. So unfortunately, whether we made it across the seas or not, they had a plan to be able to make money. And that's one thing I have to tell people when it comes to investing, like whether the market is good or bad, you have to be able to make money.
Mm-hmm.
We all have kids. Kids are not cheap by any means, and we have to invest more so we can have a future for them. But even when a market falls apart, like luckily with futures, some of my biggest days, like August 24, 2015, the market dropped 500 points. I had one of my best days. I had 100% gainer that day. Brexit, like I made a ton of money on Brexit. When that economy was falling apart, I was able to take advantage of it and then ride the ES down, which is the S&P 500, and then ride it back up. So regardless, in stocks, you can only ride them one way, but futures, you can play both ways.
So, what are some markets that you can actually buy futures on?
You can do it through TD Ameritrade. I use NinjaTrader as well out of Chicago because it's $500 per contract at NinjaTrader. If you did it through Thinkorswim.
$500?
Yes, okay. $500 per. But if you bought one future contract on TD Ameritrade, it would be $6,250. Because most African Americans don't have $6,000 laying around to invest one contract. So they're a discount broker, and that's how you can end up buying more contracts and end up making more money.
Okay. So, all right, so day trading.
Yep.
Day trading.
Or as I call it, short-term investing. But
short-term investing.
Because there's a lot of traders out there, and most of them don't make money.
Okay.
It's very true.
It's all right. So how do you make money day trading? Because you said, so day trading, for anybody who's not familiar, is that you're trading intraday. That's why it's called day trading. So you could day trade anything. Crypto.
Which I hate.
You hate crypto?
Hate.
You could we've learned to hate it too.
All right. Yeah. You could day trade Forex.
Which I hate.
We'll talk about that.
You could
day trade stocks, but you said that stocks is not the best way to day trade or intraday trade or however you want to phrase it.
Well, stocks weren't originally meant to be day traded. They were meant to be held for long-term periods. So like 30, 40, 50 year period. And you notice as an advisor, like if you had Apple and you traded Apple for one day, 10 years ago, you may have made $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. If you would have put $2,000 into Apple 10 years ago, you would probably have more than 150 grand right now. So for a long-term wealth building, it's absolutely amazing. But futures, you have a 30-day window to trade them, and then the contracts cycle over. So, and I tell all of my students, I'm like, go for shorter targets so you can get in, out, profit. But the hardest part for most people is they don't have discipline to walk away. They'll want to overtrade and be like, well, I've been broke the majority of my life, so let me try and get 10 trades in a day. But you can't make up for the time in which you were not previously
investing. How do you day trade? What's some tips on day? Like, how do you day trade?
First, you have to open up a brokerage account. So that would be through for features like NinjaTrader. And then the most important thing, you have to know where the direction is going. It's a simple way to know. If the market is green, it means the market is going up. If it's red, it means it's going down. We've all opened up Yahoo Finance on a bad day.
Yep.
So it was red. But most traders, they are buying when it's red. And that's a good investing strategy. But intraday, you end up losing a lot of money. So if the market is going up, ride the market up or buy. And then if it's red, you want to sell. But you have to have a predetermined target. So like if you have 50 shares of, let's say, bonds, and let's say you get 2 pennies worth of movement, you can make 1250 in less than 14, 15 minutes. But then after that, you have to stop because you're only allowed a certain amount of trades per day because you don't want to gamble. That's where the gambling part comes in. That's associated with trading. It's like, well, you don't know if it's going to go up or go down. I'm like, you know what the S&P is going to do.
What's the number of trades you can make a day?
You can do unlimited, but I advise people only do one or two.
Okay.
One or two, because anytime you do more than that, you are, like I said, subconsciously trying to make up for the lack of money that you have in your life. Because we know most people that have money don't take huge risk. And I like to keep my risk capped to like 2%, but every time you get back in the market, you are assuming more risk on a particular trade, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah. Can we just go back for a second for the contracts? I know you said there's an expiration of 30 days. Yeah. Is that the standard, or are there other ones that are 60 or 90 days?
No, that's the standard for futures. So every 30 days, they'll end up rolling over. So that's a max window that you can have to trade them.
Okay. And you could lose or gain money during that process, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, but you can have a stop loss in place that mitigates your risk, and then you can have a predetermined target. A lot of people, they'll just hit buy and hope that it goes up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hope was a great strategy for Obama, but financially, that's something we can't do.
So what's the S&P right now?
Close to the 3,000s, 3,500 range.
All right, 3,500, let's just say 3,500, because we don't know when this will come out.
Yep.
So let's say 3,500 S&P is right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get up,
yep.
I buy a future on it,
yep.
And I have a target
of 3501.
Of 3501.
Yes.
I have a stop loss of,
let's say you can put it at 2998 for easy numbers.
All right. Yep. So the stop loss is if it goes, I stop my losses. That's why it's called stop loss. Yes. Stop your losses. So you don't just, it's not like a nosedive. The market just starts to tank. It's like, okay, all your,
because then you can lose all of your money and
you're sold at that point.
That can go down to 1,000.
Yep.
Okay.
But when it gets to the point where you're actually, say, comfortable buying, selling it at, then it's sold.
Absolutely. Automatically.
Okay. So, but now it's like, if it goes past that, what if it just keeps going? Like,
you can't have FOMO. You have to be, think of it as a business. McDonald's doesn't sell number one for $10 to one person, then 25 to another. All the prices are the same. So you want to run it like a business where I'm like, okay, when I approach the market, anytime that I hit over a certain number, I'm happy. A, because I remember when I was broke and had no money. And then B, it's not in my business plan to take more than a certain amount of trades per day. A lot of people will get in, they'll start and be like, oh, I want to take 14, 15 trades. I'm like, that's not in your plan. So we have to, especially our people, we have to exercise a lot of discipline in the financial markets because we're so far behind. And people try and get caught up with trading. And it's like, you should have been investing 10 years ago. I mean, even me, knowing what I know now, me not putting every dollar into the market when Art told me to cost me $12 million.
Wow.
So it's like,
wow.
That's why I tell him, I'm like, damn, I should have listened to you. I'm sorry. He was like, but you're further ahead than you were and could have been. But I'm like, yeah, but I want the 12. But he was like, but you have to go all in when you get the information. And we all sit and wish we would have invested. We were talking about it before we started recording. Could have bought Citi, Bank of America, Apple was super cheap, MasterCard was cheap.
Definitely.
We sat on the sidelines, and then, but you know, some J's came out. We went and got the J's, or we partied, or went on vacation. We have to put our money here first.
And you said it's only like 2 hours a day where you should actually be.
2 hours maximum, the open and the close.
Where you should even, You don't like to call it day trading. What is it? What do you call it?
Short-term investing.
All right. So only 2 hours a day where you should do short-term investing.
Yes.
Opening, which is 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, 8:30 to 9:30 Central.
9:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And closing, which is 3:30 to 4:30?
Yeah, 3:30 to 4:30, and then you should be done. Just wrap it up, and that's Eastern time, and wrap it up. Because in the middle, that's where a lot of the amateurs play. There's not as much liquidity. So think of it as if you owned a store, all your highest volume, let's say if you own a restaurant, would be breakfast and dinner time.
Right.
In the middle, there's not as many people buying. Like, you literally can see volume get cut in half, and I'm like, don't trade in the middle because there's not enough people. Because all the market is a bunch of people agreeing to buy and sell at a particular price. Everybody goes away at lunch. So come back at the close and then just be disciplined and stick to your hours.
You said in one of your rules that never to give up more than 1.6% on any trade. Can you explain that?
So you have to have like a predetermined like risk to reward ratio. And so like, let's say if we were playing ball outside and if we hit 2 3-pointers, we got $50,000. Great. I think anybody in this room, no matter how often we play, we can hit 2 shots, right? But most people, when they trade, they're risking 50% of their capital. So if you miss them first 2 shots, you lose all your money. So if you cap it at 1.6% or 2% maximum, if you lose 2 trades, you're only down 4%. Your wife or your lady won't kill you. You're not messing up the kids' college fund. And then your emotions aren't messed up. Whereas if you're risking 50%, man, 2 trades, your lady hates you. You messed up the bag for the kid. And now you are beating yourself up because we, as black people, have so much trauma tied with money and not having it. Any losses hurt us more than other races, I found out, personally. So
yeah, you don't want to get wiped out. Take you out the game.
You don't.
One bad day could take you out the game.
Yeah, and we've seen it, and of course, during a recession. So like when people were over-leveraged, a lot of the banks went under because they had assumed too much risk.
But a lot of it is psychology too, because like if you, so it's all synonymous with gambling. And I always tell people that investing is a game of knowledge.
Yes.
Gambling is a game of chance. Yes. But especially short-term trading, highly speculative investments, it's synonymous with gambling.
Yeah.
And you get the same feeling as a gamble. Like if you gamble, you get a certain feeling.
You hit a euphoria.
You get a feeling. You never look at, when you, if you gamble and you win 10,000 on the craps table, you don't look at it like you won 10,000. Yeah. You look at it like you could potentially win 100,000.
Yep.
And if you stop playing, you don't look, you look at it like you lost 90.
I'm high.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing with short-term investing. So that's the dangerous part for me is like people, you go down it because you start to make money very quickly
and very fast.
So if you make $500 an hour, it's like a high.
Yeah.
You feel
invincible.
Yeah.
At that point. But then you just have to stop because after you lose a certain amount of money, and we've all been there, we made money, gave it back or spent it. But once you have to have a higher purpose for what the money's for. For me being broke, like I need freedom for myself and then also for my son. Because I know when I had the conversation with my dad, I'm like, if you would have put away 10 grand in 30 years, it would have been 1.2. My dad damn near cried. My dad's smart, been in business for a long time. He was like, I just didn't know. Like, it's not that I wouldn't have put the money away for you. I just had no clue. And of course, in the 70s and 80s, this information wasn't flowing in our communities at all.
Nah, it's all right. So the next segment, we're going to go into some more information. But the day trading or short-term trading.
I'm a short-term investor.
Is swing trading the same thing?
Yeah, so you can hold it for multiple days. Yeah. So for like a 30-day period. So you're holding it. So then you have a higher probability because you can hold it for multiple days, but it costs more to do that. So even that. So if you swing trade the S&P 500, it costs almost $7,000. Because most of us are blocked out from being able to do that because the win ratio is higher with swing trading because you're holding it over multiple days. You may get a bad price on the S&P Monday, but then by Thursday it's back up, so you're fine. And listen, investing is risky, especially on a short-term side if you are not disciplined. And I always say, like, if you don't have 10 grand put into the market or 10 grand saved, you shouldn't. Because most people want to treat this like they are going to flip money. I'm like, flipping doesn't work in the streets. Like, you either get jammed up, have to get a lawyer, or you end up giving it all away. So we have to, I want us to take that drug mentality away around the market, even though I love the Wall Street Trapper name. I love the content. So
I got
no shade with that because I love your material. I want us to start to think bigger about what we can achieve and long-term pass on money and to be able to even help our friends. So.
All right. Okay. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about some more things involved with investing. Okay. So as far as trading, right? Yes. Whether you're trading commodities, whether you're trading stocks, whether you're trading futures, like you said, it's practice makes perfect, right? And you could become good at anything if you have good habits.
And if you apply yourself, yeah.
How can somebody become a good trader? Like, what are some tips to improve somebody's trading?
That's the best thing. When you sign up with any platform, they let you practice for free. Most people want to start making money right away. And short-term investing is more like a sport. So I can't expect to go to the league if I'm putting up two jumpers a day. Mm. I don't care how good the two jumpers are. Under different conditions, I won't be able to perform well. So I tell people, like, start off practicing and take 100 trades. See how it goes for you. Then take it. That's before you put $1
simulate
in.
It. Like, simulate it.
Yeah, simulate it. Mm. But because then you'll get comfortable and say, okay, either I do have the discipline to do this or I don't. For me, coming from East Chicago, Indiana, poor area, when I got introduced to long-term investing and short, it clicked for me right away. I'm like, wait, so if I put in 100 shares here and I get 4 pennies up in movement on the ES, I can make $12.50. I'm like, I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'm like, but most people may not have the discipline because they may not believe in themselves. And we see it with business owners all the time who should have more growth. They are the limitations or the governor in their own business. But you can start with any brokerage platform and then just practice.
So on the brokerage platforms, they have actual simulators, because that's a good thing to know, especially when we're trying to teach kids to actually do the side game.
And for kids, they have a game called ChartCut. Yeah. So it's a game that you can download in the App Store. And you literally can, if you think the market is going to go up, hit buy. If you think it's going to drop, hit sell. And you can practice there.
Yeah.
Simulated trading, I'm glad you said that, especially for children, is extremely, extremely valuable.
Yes.
Because especially trading, it's a competitive sport.
It is.
So like a lot of schools, even for teachers, a lot of times I always recommend, like, if you want to do like an investment club for your class and you can start with like fake money, think of them a prize, whoever wins. Yeah. Colleges do that all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, you're learning,
but
it's always good to have some kind of competition in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize like it's actually exciting. Like, you know what I mean? Like anybody that really is involved with like trading stocks or investing on a high level, they it's like a sport, it's a game.
It is.
So simulation is something that, and like you said, it's you're not making any money, but it's like
you have to practice it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same as any
it's like the preseason. Yeah. It's like the preseason.
I think it's dope because, like I said, in our summer program, we teach stocks, so we teach them about the market. But then like they do a simulator, and then they actually get to go down to Wall Street and see how it's done.
Incredible.
For real. So that's important.
Yeah.
After we do the simulation, though, right now it's time to get in the game. Like, is there a certain amount of money we need to have, or like,
what's I would say start with $2,000, but before you get to intraday trading, like, you have to invest long term. So even though I love investing on the short term, I made my chops and reputation off long term investing. So the foundation is indexes, second layer is technology stocks. So start there, and then start with $1,000 or $2,000. Don't put everything you have into it, because then when the money's involved, emotions come out.
Absolutely.
And then now you have to stick to your rule of one or two trades a day and not 45 trades and not trading Forex and crypto and everything at the same time. Like, you have to be very disciplined. Start small and then earn your way up to put it in more. Most people just want to throw in 10 grand and hope it goes up. And I'm like, you can't hope. You have to practice your way through this to be able to do better.
Yeah, one of the things you said too, I heard in an interview, it was like, people just throw money into an investment and they just leave it there.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be some discipline where you have like, all right, every month I need to throw this certain amount.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that strategy a little bit?
Yeah, so you want to set goals in place. So even if you only, let's say you get 1 penny worth of movement on bonds and you max out your contracts, you can get 6.25% growth on 1 penny worth of movement. You don't have to be great to do that.
Mm.
So I tell my students, you have to have one small target you can hit every day. Because let's be honest, you have to produce. Even if emotions are there, you're having a bad day, you've been fighting with your significant other, you still have to make money because bills are going to come in, and then go for a longer target. So that's when I tell them to do like a 15-point target. So if you lose one trade, let's say if you even lose five, when you hit that 15-point target, it erases all the previous losses, and now you're in profit of 10. But it's a sport. It's no different than playing basketball, MMA, which my son loves to do. Hey, Xander, I love you. or we all went to school with people who were really talented and then end up not doing well because they were just lazy as hell.
Yeah.
Like, we look at James Harden, of course, in Houston, LeBron, regardless of what you think of him, man, the kid works hard, puts a lot of money into his body in the offseason. So you have to treat the investing part the same way.
Yeah, and it's, all right. So you said The first layer should be index funds.
Yes.
The second layer should be tech. I'm glad you said that. I want to talk about tech a little bit because I tell people all the time, like, if you don't know anything, just invest in tech.
Absolutely.
Because technology is not the wave of the future. It's right now.
It's now. Like, and always has been. Yeah,
yeah, every industry is affected by tech. Like, there's a mutual fund called the Diamond Tech Fund, Franklin Templeton.
Yep.
And it's up like 16% a year for the last 10 years.
Easily.
And it has like all of the big tech companies in it, like Google, Apple, Amazon.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a dummy's way to invest. Like,
absolutely. Because our lives are ruled by technology. Even back when they had the assembly line, that was a technological innovation that made Ford great at that time. Mm-hmm. Then IBM, of course, now Apple and Microsoft have been on a great run. Netflix, Facebook, Google. And I tell people, like, invest in major tech companies you've heard of. If it's a biotech company that you never heard of in Delaware, don't touch it. We all have heard of Facebook, Amazon, Google, Netflix. So those are easy, and like you said, an easy way to invest. Because I ask entrepreneurs, if I can walk you into Steve Jobs' office when he was alive, and he would give you a grant for your business, would you take the grant from Steve? Everybody says, yeah. How much money have you invested in Apple then? Because it comes down to who's the better entrepreneur. I'm not better than the CEO of Google. No matter how much ego I have, I'm not better than Zuckerberg, but I can tie my money into him and their performance and make money off of them. And especially in our community, we know who the hottest players are, who the hottest rappers are.
We make it that way.
Yeah, and we make it that way. So even when I went to EC Central and talked to the kids, I'm like, who's hotter, Cardi or MC Light? Most of the kids are like, who is MC Light?
They're probably saying that right now.
Yeah, it's like Cardi's hotter. Okay, cool. Cardi is Apple. Okay, who's hotter, Drake or Rakim? Peace to the God.
Yeah.
But Drake would be like Microsoft.
Right.
So these are easy bets. You have like top five performers in every industry and just tie your money into them and you'll be okay.
Ride the wave.
Yeah.
So why are you so big on indexes though? Because it's a debate between like indexes. Warren Buffett is a believer in index.
Huge believer.
He's like, just put your money in index fund. If you don't know nothing else, just put your money in index fund. Yeah. And a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
But then people want to just...
Are you anti-index?
I'm not.
Okay.
No. But I'm just interested to get your perspective on it. Like, why is index funds the top level for you?
Yeah, because it provides a certain level of safety. So let's make a comparison. Like, the Knicks GM... has had a lot of opportunity to draft some good players. He has not for the longest time.
Yeah.
So let's say we go into being GM of picking stocks. Okay, so we can either pick one individual company, which we may have a bust on, or an index fund is nothing more than an all-star team. So if I give you the Eastern All-Stars to go against Orlando, who do you think is going to win?
I'm going to think.
Yeah, all-star team is going to win. Right. So like, when you pick index funds, you're taking the best of the best companies. And even if you miss a great company, by having a collective there or a basket, it'll be able to go up. And then this year had an amazing run. Like, it was up 27%. Like, this year was a great year. And I know some people don't like them, but it's like Buffett does it. A lot of the major hedge funds, and then if you want to get more technical, like all the money they've been pumping into the market or quantitative easing since the recession, that's another reason. Like, I always tell people, the market is rigged to stay up. Because when the market happens or a recession happens, people die, divorces are at a higher rate, businesses never recover. So it's the economic engine that keeps pumping. And we have to tie our money to where the money is and where it's flowing easily. So.
All right. And another thing with the index funds is that you can actually invest most retirement plans. Most 401ks have an option where it's like the S&P. You can invest in an index fund inside of your retirement.
Yep.
Which brings me to my next question. So what stocks should people invest in for retirement?
The two biggest technology companies there are. Keep it simple. My plan is very simple. Two indexes, two tech. Because if you invest in 25 companies, you made your own mutual fund. Why? Now, you can talk if from an asset allocation standpoint, if you should have bonds, and tech runs our lives. So whether Amazon takes over or Apple takes over, it's going to be two tech giants always. Tie your money, and you can go back and look at IBM.
So what tech giants?
Like right now.
I've always advised Apple and Microsoft.
Okay. Not Google?
Well, if you can afford it. Google's too pricey for most people.
That is true.
Yeah, it's too pricey. If you can do Google, absolutely. But I know most in our community, they can't afford where Google is. I mean, I recommended Amazon and Google in 2015 and 2016, and Amazon before it got to 1,000 a share. Once it hit 1,000 a share, most people was like, I don't have enough money to buy one share.
It's tough to buy one slice.
Yeah.
Amazon's going to keep going up.
Yeah. To infinity. Yeah. They are the king of retail. Yeah. So if you guys can afford it, do it.
No stopping. Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a retirement strategy?
Yep.
Because those companies are never going to fall.
Never. And if so, someone's going to overtake them. So even with Microsoft, like I'm 37. Microsoft was popular. Windows 95 was popular, and Bill Gates had that company doing well in the mid 90s. So even like 20 grand or 10 grand back in the 90s now would be several hundred thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Great companies tend to be great for a long period of time, and shitty companies go out of business really fast. So even you take Oracle, any of the Silicon Valley tech giants, they've been around for a long time. Salesforce. With their ticker CRM.
Salesforce is serious.
Yeah,
Salesforce,
like they've been around forever. So that's why when like fly-by-night stuff comes up like Bitcoin, I'm like, why?
We'll get there.
Yeah, why touch it? And if you don't know how to properly invest it, like start with the big boys. And think of it always, you're drafting. So you want to draft the best players. So I'm going, whether you like LeBron or not, LeBron's going to be one of the first people I pick. Like Durant is like a Salesforce, like slow and steady, gets better every year, underrated. But then a lot of people are like, well, I want to get a weed company like CAN that falls through the floor. And I'm like, why? Just because you smoke weed? Like,
we know
that,
like
that doesn't make you an expert. And I feel like just tie your money to what's working.
So we got two tech stocks. And what are the two indexes?
SPY is the easy, or you can do VOO, which is Vanguard, and then the Dow Jones, which is DIA, and keep it very, very simple. Keep it very simple because you don't need 25 stocks in your retirement plan. Because once you have so many, they'll start to weigh down your portfolio. Well, you may have a winner that's up 25%, but the loser may have lost 12%, and now you've cut your retirement in half. And the number that we actually need for retirement is 5 million. In our community, that's a hard ass number.
Why you say 5 million?
I was
going
to say, why 5?
When you look at inflation, and then also, how many kids you have?
One.
You have one?
Two.
You have two?
Yeah.
They're not cheap.
No.
It adds up. And then also, when we get in this position to be fortunate financially, we also have to help other people. So it's a heavier burden on us. And then, of course, with cost of living going up, I mean, you guys are living in a pricey state. It's not going to be cheap to live. You can't. There is no $400 or $500 mortgages here anymore. So we just need more money.
And then it's the 4% rule.
Yeah. Go ahead.
4% rule. So if anybody's not familiar, that's what most people say. Like, you should only take 4% of your retirement account a year to make sure that it stays forever.
Yeah.
So 4% of a million is $40,000.
Yep.
When you look at it like that, it's not that much money.
You're at break even pretty much.
Right.
So maybe.
So then 5 million, 4% of 5 million is $200,000.
Yeah.
So if you look at it from that standpoint, especially with inflation.
And rising healthcare costs.
Not really a lot of money.
At all. Like God rest her soul, my grandmother gave all of her life savings away trying to get back healthy once she had cancer. Oh, like wow. My grandma probably went through 200 grand maybe in 8 months.
Wow.
Like going through key, and I'm like there with her. So the businessman in me and my dad is seeing it. He's like, there's 40 chairs in here. Like, and they're charging 2,500 there. This is a business.
Yeah.
So it's great for the healthcare field. But for us, well, if we ever have any disaster, or because we're all going to have a downturn at some point, something will happen, and that's why we need more money put away. It costs a lot of money. And look at all the bankruptcies that happen because of high hospital bills. Like, I have a friend that had a $200,000 bill last year. It's like, you can try and write it off or file bankruptcy, but it's like, it's going to dig a deeper hole for you.
Absolutely.
So Forex, which is, we're going to do a whole episode on Forex. Stop asking. We appreciate it. We got it.
We're coming soon. We heard you had some thoughts about
Forex.
But
currency trading, Forex. So why are you not a fan of Forex?
The regulations are tough. So if you do, it's gotten better. So they have brokers here that are regulated finally.
Can we just say, it's not a new thing.
No, it's old as hell.
You know what, like, I work around kids all the time, and they'll try to approach me about it. Yeah. I'm like, guys.
Yeah,
it's like, it feels like a new fad that's going on, but it's not
because of Instagram.
It's new on social media.
New on social,
exactly.
Yeah, and when people mention, they'll be like, "Well, one time an investor took a trade and made $2 billion." I'm like, he wasn't trading on MT4, like that was a bank play that he actually made. So that's different. Currency trading from a bank standpoint is good, but A, you have to deal with regulation. 2, the brokers are shitty. So a lot of them take your money. Like I have friends that invested in Forex and then literally all their money was taken. You aren't going to be able to get in at the best spots. And then when you look at the major news outlets, nobody talks about Forex first. Mm. I'm like, follow where the money is. I've never heard three hedge fund managers ever mention Forex on TV or in writing. It's just not a good thing to invest in because you're trading against other people. And let's say you do get 25 pips a day because we all see the post on Instagram. Y'all are making $14, $15. I'm like, I don't know how your bills are structured, but that $100 win not going to do shit for me and my kid. Like, it's not, it's yeah. an amateur's market, and it's a good place to start. Have there been people that's made money? Yes. But there are not a lot of them. More, it has a 95% loss rate.
Yeah, I feel like this thing like hit college campuses and hit social media.
Like, wow. And then the multi-level marketing companies yeah. took over. And I'm like, if you can actually trade, why do you need to recruit people? And I tell people all the time, whether you join me or not, I'm cool. Please, like, you don't have to join.
Right.
But that's where the financial freedom, having no debt, having money comes in. Because I'm trying to be less Dame Dashes in approach and be kinder. But I feel the energy because it's like, if you're financially free, you don't need to chase anybody.
Yeah, it becomes like, you know what, like, what's the fastest thing to get money right now? Especially for a kid who's in college that has no money. Yeah. It's like, I'll do this.
And I was like, that broke kid in college, so exactly. I understand it.
They're vulnerable.
Damn near all fast money is bad. Anybody I knew who was making fast money in any endeavor, they lost it. Because when you make it too fast, you don't appreciate it.
Kids, listen up, please.
Yeah, please. Or you can lose it and then say, hey, you were right 2 or 3 years later. But please don't touch Forex. And I know some of y'all love Forex. That shit is trash, though.
Can we talk about bonds for a little bit?
Yes.
So bonds. All right. You hear about stocks and bonds a lot.
Yeah.
We've covered stocks. We're covering stocks today. But we haven't spoken about bonds yet. Mm-hmm. So bonds. So, all right. So stocks, you buy ownership of a company. Mm-hmm. And you buy stock in Apple. You're part owner of Apple, right?
Yes.
Bonds, kind of like the reverse in a sense where you're loaning a company.
Yes.
Or a municipality or a country. You're loaning them money.
Yeah.
And for you loaning them money, they're paying you a dividend.
Yes.
Over a set period of time. It's a coupon. It's called a coupon, right? Yep. And it has a maturity. And maturity is like 10 years. So that's when it matures.
Yeah.
So you put $1,000 in, you have a 10% coupon. Mm-hmm. Then you get $100 every year.
Yeah.
Two times a year, like $50 two times a year, right? Semi-annually. And then at the end of 10 years, you get your $100 back.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
You're good at making it simple.
You're great. I always say if an 8-year-old can't understand it,
it's too complex.
It's too complex. Yeah,
the litmus test is always my son too. So like that green means up, red means down. Like drill Xander on that all the time. And he's like, and as you know, kids get it.
Yeah, they get it.
Like super easy.
And they love it when they get it.
Yeah, because adults, we are so fearful because we made so many mistakes before.
Yeah.
Because we all wish that we put more money in Apple 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when Google first came out on the stock market.
Yeah.
I remember all of that. Yeah. I remember 2008, everything.
Yeah. We invested. Before they even announced the iPhone, I had Apple.
Yeah.
And I got nervous, man. When the
and it's a good tip too. Like if you want to know if a company is a good thing to invest in, click on the 10-year chart. And it should go up and be green. If it's going, and the same thing is like if you're in a relationship or a marriage, after 10 years, you know a person.
I'm glad you said that. Because I do that all the time. It's like if I show them funds and stuff like that, like I look at it like, okay, what's the 5-year rate of average, 10-year average, and since its inception.
Absolutely.
So since its inception is when it was created. So if it has, like Franklin Dimatech, if I'm going back to that. So since its inception, 1968, it's averaged 9.7% a year.
That's incredible.
So odds are,
yep,
it's averaged almost 10% a year for 60 years.
Yep.
It's not going to fall off the cliff in year 61. Highly unlikely.
Yep.
You know what you're going to get.
Yes.
Now, if something is up 47% for 1 year, but if I look in 10 years and it's minus one, I can't trust you.
Yeah.
So you could look at 401ks, that all of them.
Same way. Yep.
Same thing. It's like, that's an easy way. That's the easiest way to look to see if it's a good investment or not.
Yeah.
Look to see what it has done. The future is always dictated by the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, because if you look at all the legacy companies, and to make the analogies with players, LeBron has been good since he came out. LeBron's not, and that's why the Wash King thing is funny. Like AD's been good since he came in.
Yeah.
The players that were terrible 5 years ago, they're still terrible. And that's true of companies as well. So you look at that 10 and 15 year period, and like you said, since inception, like Apple has been a rocket. And I make the joke all the time, but Forrest Gump talked about Apple. Like there was a whole scene carved out about how he invested money and how much it grew. And Apple's continued to hit all-time high after all-time high.
So we spoke about dividends when you spoke about bonds. Yeah. What are your thoughts on stock dividend-paying stocks?
It's tough. There's only a few that I like. Apple, Microsoft, Mondelez. But my thing is, I want you to pair a dividend play with a company that is growing. So you still want to see that chart go up. A lot of dividend plays, they pay because they're a bad company. So I always tell women, it's like having a shitty boyfriend that'll buy you a Gucci bag. Is that something that you really want to hold long term? I like for the company to grow, and they're going to pay less. Like Apple and Microsoft are going to pay a smaller dividend, but the growth is incredible, opposed to a company that may drop 15% in a quarter, but they're giving you a $2 dividend. It's like, am I really doing anything for you when your retirement is being dragged down?
So, but we didn't talk about bonds yet. Cause I wanted to. Okay. I was going somewhere with that. The bonds. So, how do you make money on? So we explained what bonds are, but how do you make money on bonds? Because you said bonds is actually the best thing to trade.
Bonds futures.
So yeah, how does that work?
So there's a unit of measurement called a tick. Think of it as a penny. So anytime that the bonds go up or down, because you can make money whether the market goes up or down, it pays $31.25 per tick, or per penny. So if you get 50 contracts and you ride it down, you can make money really fast there. Now, from a long-term investment play, there are some different theories of whether you should have bonds in your mix or not. You can. But from a future standpoint, since it pays the most and it moves slow. Mm-hmm. So the thing about trading.
What's the cost for each contract when you're trading bonds?
500 per.
Same thing?
Yeah, okay. Same thing, 500 per. So you can get 4 pennies down with 50 contracts. And you can make a few thousand in a day doing it that way. And then this is the most important thing. After you trade, you have to take a good portion of that capital and then put it back into your long term and not go right to bottle popping and vacations and tearing down a mall and Galleria where I'm in Houston. So, yeah.
Are there any costs or anything, like commission costs, anything for that?
Yeah, there are costs. You can buy a lifetime license and you can lower and reduce your fees. So any financial transaction, you know, there's going to be a cost associated with or a fee. But NinjaTrader has cheaper fees, and I don't have any affiliate deals with them.
Okay.
But the fee structure is like $1.45 round trip, which is it's entry, and then $1.45 out, which is pretty good because after you net profit, you're still walking away with probably $28 per tip.
Is there a difference between a commission cost and an execution cost?
Yeah, but they put them all in. So, okay. You know, most brokerages, they're going to have their different level of fees. So there's an entry cost, of course. There's like a data fee and other things associated with it. But in the aggregate, like, it's worth it because if you went to a bigger platform, like I said, TD Ameritrade, for the S&P, you'll have to pay almost $7,000. And then for bonds, you have to pay $3,500. I know most black people don't have that sitting around readily available. But for like, and futures were for mostly institutional investors and private investors. So that's why I've tried to wake people up around it because I see so many people going to Forex and Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I'm like, invest where like Paul Tudor Jones isn't going on CNBC talking about Litecoin. Like stop, invest where the money and big money flows. And then you can argue it. And this is my litmus test for everything. I'm like, how much money are you making from it? You can theorize how good something is, but I'm like, if bonds pays the most, invest there. And I always tell people, okay, if you did your same job and I told you you can make 100 times more at the same job, would you switch companies? Yes. Yeah. Then I'm like, okay, then leave Forex alone, leave crypto alone, and then just play. But like you said, you have competition from day one. So when you trade futures, you're trading against every top trader and every top hedge fund day one. There is no biddy ball. You're going against LeBron, Kawhi, KD day one. So that's where the practice part comes in.
All right, so in the last segment, we're going to talk about your Red Panda platform and some other tips for investors. All right, so this is the question that everybody wants to know. Like, how much money, what's realistic, or how much money can you make short-term trading?
A ton. So when I first talked to the guy that introduced me to futures, I'm like, how much can I make? And he was like, well, how much money can you put up? Because that determines how much you can make. But on a short end, let's say you can trade 100 shares of the S&P 500 and you only get 1 penny worth of movement up or down. That 1 penny represents 1250. So if you get four
pennies. Represents how much?
1250, 1250.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get four That would be 5,000. Now, on average, the market will move anywhere from 70 to 90 pennies in a day. I'm telling people, only go for one or four to start.
That's why you're saying invest first thing in the morning and right before close.
Yep. Because then you have all the volume coming through. And then with bonds, since bonds pay more, you can make 3, 4, 5, 6,000. So even with four ticks, if you do 50 shares, you can make 3,100.
How much money invested?
12,500.
12,500 invested.
Yeah.
And you can make how much?
3,125. Yeah. And so the more you put in, so people always ask, how much should I start with? I'm like 10 grand, 25 grand. If you can do 50, great. If you can do 100, better. Everyone's at different levels. I'm like, but if you don't have 10, you should not be intraday investing at all.
Long term investing.
Yeah. 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 Just long term. Start investing. There. Like, mm-hmm. If you don't have 10 put away, start with that, because Apple in 10 years is going to be great. And I think too many people, like you said, try and gamble because they're behind. But I'm like, start with the basics. The first level is index funds. Second is technology. And then you can go into short-term investing after that.
You have a strategy to make $3,125 in a day trading bond futures.
Yeah.
That's a very specific number. So
yeah, because each penny is $3,125 per. Okay. So you guys can do the math. If you do 50 contracts, uh-huh. You get 4 pennies times 31.25. That gives you
3125.
Yeah, 3125. So it's
a day.
Yeah, in a day.
So how do you do that?
So you'll place the order. So let's say I think bonds are falling. I will place the order, let's say at 5625. The market will, there will be a tag where I have an exit point for those 4 pennies. I will buy 50 shares of it. And then if it drops that 4, it automatically takes me out. So you don't have to worry about, well, what if it goes down 8? And comes back.
That's
up.
That's your stop loss.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and then you have a predetermined target.
Okay.
So on every trade, you need a predetermined target or a target that you're going to hit. So think of it like a sales goal. Like once you hit that goal, you have to stop. So a lot of people, when they trade, they want to leave the money in all day. It's not designed for that. You have to have a predetermined target in which you exit, and that 4 penny or 4 tick target is the easiest one that you can hit.
So you put it in, and then what's the sales target again?
4 pennies.
4 pennies up.
Yeah. So if you're buying, you want a 4 pennies up. If you're shorting, which means to profit when the market drops, 4 pennies down, and then you're golden.
So what's the stop loss? All right, 4 pennies up. I got that. But what's the stop loss on that?
You can set it at 8.
8 pennies down?
Yeah. Because you have to give it some room to breathe. And then when you get into a more advanced, higher targets, then you would have 4 penny target. And then now you, eight tick stop loss, and then like a 60 tick profit target. So now you're in like a positive risk reward, because I can see the wheel spinning as an advisor. It's a negative risk reward on a smaller one, but I tell people, like, if you have a higher risk reward, mm-hmm. You don't have to win as many trades. Because if you have a 15-1 or 10-1 ratio, you can lose 7-8 trades, and on your 9th trade, make all the money back, wipe away your losses, and all your losses, and then be in profit.
One of your strategies is having an 11-1 risk reward ratio. Why is that?
Because you're going to perform bad some days. Like, everyone isn't able to be emotionally disciplined. You may have a fight with your lady, your kids may bother you, you may be tired. So if I tell you to invest in the S&P and it goes up, your first 2 trades may be bad. Your third one will work out. But if you can't outperform math, no matter how much willpower you have. So if you have a 1-1 risk to reward, you only have 1 trade to win. Mm-hmm. 2-1, you can lose 2 trades before you're negative. We don't want to risk 50% of our money on 2 trades, because that's like playing roulette almost at that point. Anybody in here, I think, can win 1 trade out of 11 and then still be profitable. It's a financial assessment that you'll be able to make to know, okay, even if I only make 1 out of 11, I can still be able to profit. Most people are doing 1-1 ratio. Yeah. So they're risk 100 to make 100, and then they lose, and now they're out of money.
So all right, so it's like you got $1,000 to invest. Most people putting $1,000 in one investment.
You should not do that.
And they just rolling the dice with it.
I mean, we've all heard, don't put your eggs in one basket. And then when it comes to financial stuff,
this is like the
all opinion. The hindsight, yeah, goes out the
so
window.
So you're saying if you have $1,000, you should never put 90,
yeah,
more than 90?
No. Yeah, because you want to cap the risk on every trade. So if you lose the 90 on 1,000, it's not going to ruin your day. If you lose 850 out of the 1,000,
we in trouble.
You're going to be pissed.
Yeah,
you're going to be pissed. And that's what's true of every business. So we know we need to bring in customers at a certain rate. There's a certain amount you can spend on ads for that. These numbers are true in every business.
Yeah. So across the board. On a good week, right, the market's up. If we're doing the 31-25 strategy, mm-hmm. we're talking over 15,000 a week.
Yeah.
At that point, we're doing this full time.
Yeah.
At what point do you become a master and you can now do this full time?
It depends on what your financial targets are. So for me, what's made it easier is like being really disciplined. So my grandmother used to say, like, baby, pay down all your debt.
Yeah.
No credit cards.
Shout out to grandma.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then Dave Ramsey got super popular, and I'm like, this is all the stuff my grandma taught me.
Yeah, I wrote one of her quotes. She was like, negative thoughts have negative actions with these negative results.
Yeah.
Same as reverse for positive.
And I didn't want to hear it. Yeah. She'd be like, altitude determines your altitude. I'm like, I do not want to hear that. But as an adult, it's very true. Yeah. And then we have so much stress in our household because financially we're upside down. Like, I remember when we were broke, our family would fight about everything. The remote control, who gets to watch the TV, when we would go out. Having financial freedom takes that away. So a lot of times people think they need to earn more. I'm like, you need to knock that damn debt down and quit overspending. And that's a hard part. And we all know it. As you get more money, the income creep happens. And then now it's like, okay, I don't want the Benz anymore. I want the Bentley. But the cost associated with it and repairs are tough. Upgrading the house. So you have to keep the debt down first, and then you won't need to make as much. But you can go full-time after you're disciplined. You constantly have hit those same numbers over and over again.
Gotcha. Dave Ramsey made $500 million by telling people not to use any debt. That's it.
Smart. But look.
Number one.
He God
followed,
bless America.
Seven-step system. Yeah. But he followed the same system over and over again.
Yeah.
Over and repeated the same message. So it goes back to the same thing with trading. You got to follow the same plan. And Dave's been saying the same thing like 30 years. Very few changes to it. So most importantly, like, take what I'm saying and to everyone watching, like, follow what the top five companies do. Apple's systems are down. They only have a few products. Manufacturing's incredible. They are following the same blueprint. That's why everyone jokes like, man, they just putting out the same phone again. But I'm like, if 3 million people are buying them, and I bought the new phone when it came out, why change it?
Right.
Why change it?
Stick to the script.
Yep.
So, all right. So can you talk about your platform, Red Panda?
Yeah. So Red Panda is my baby that was birthed by accident because I never intended to show anyone my blueprint. So we have a couple different programs for people that are interested to learn how to invest. If you're not financially stable, you should not be intraday or short-term investing at all. I'll always start there. So my foundation, of course, is long-term investing first. But I have a couple of different programs. Like Alpha is a more expensive program that teaches you how to make between 10 to 25 grand in a month. And then the 1K program is the program that's really like, I probably have maybe 600 students in that program. And majority are black women.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a void that a lot of people were talking about investing but not teaching us because they need someone like us that they can relate to be able to show them how to be able to do it. So I've had an incredible run with the women in the program and been able to get some great results for them. But the 1K a day program is designed to help you learn how to trade futures. And when you do trade, you can make $1,000 in a day and then you'll be good.
So you got 600 students. What's the success rate? Are they coming to you? Like, is there a mastermind class where everybody's discussing their results? Or
yeah,
is everybody
it's like in pods of like 200, they'll come in.
Okay.
And then, so it's the same 80-20 rule. Like 80% will do great. 20% won't follow the rules, yeah. And then they won't do well. So nothing has a 100% success rate. But if you come in and follow the blueprint and plan, like you, and I've posted this year probably 150 testimonials. And I tell people anytime, like, if you don't believe me, because I know from outside looking in, it sound like some bullshit.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if I was doing something wrong or they weren't women, it weren't winning, black women would tell you, because most of them are black women in the program. So the results have been posted year after year.
Now, are they trading for themselves inside the program, or are you doing the trading?
They're trading for them. So on our call, we have a daily call on Everyday Chat Monday through Friday. Like, I'll call out spots where they should not get in because they are either buying too high or they're trying to short at a low. But they're doing it for themselves. So I even like Monica's one of my students. She took 700 and turned that to 12,000. Angie's making $1,000 a day. She's been with me about 6 weeks. And then one of my students, Carrie, who's from my home county, she's probably my best student in the program. Like, her win percentage is now is 89%.
Yeah.
For a month. So she's doing incredible.
One of your rules is that you never want to buy in the middle.
You can't. Because a moving average literally tells you what it is. You're buying at an average price. I want to buy at extremes. So extreme low. So like when the Iran stuff happened there's a hard push down in the market. I'm like, buy stocks then during times of crisis because then they're going to shoot back up. Most people buy in the middle when the market is doing okay. Or Google hit an all-time high and people are like, well, I need to buy Google today. I'm like, you're buying too high. So we all know on Black Friday, that's when the deals are. When the market falls apart, that's the time to buy. You don't want to buy when everything is at its highest price. And we all know to do that, but it's the emotion part and then the emotional discipline to actually do it. Because it's scary as hell when the market is falling 500 points and I'm like, okay, should I buy today? That's when it's on sale. I ask every woman, if I can get you the Louboutins for $250 instead of the $1,500, would you get them? Yes. It's the same theory. But when we invest, you're buying them at $1,700 instead of $1,500.
We don't want to miss out.
You're overpaying. Yeah. You're overpaying. And the crazy, and you know this being an advisor, there's like many crashes that happen every month. So everyone's been waiting for a big recession to happen because they want to recreate the Big Short. A crash happens every month. There hasn't been one month where stocks and the index funds have not come down. But people don't have the discipline to wait and to say, okay, when we drop 500 points on the Dow or 1,000, I'm going to buy that day. That's the time to buy because it's on sale.
Buy low, sell high.
It's the same strategy over and over.
And most people buy high and sell low. Yep. You know, they buy high and sell low.
Yep.
That's what most people do.
Yep.
It's emotions. Nobody wants to, FOMO, fear of missing out.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to feel like, it's like Bitcoin, perfect example. Most people bought Bitcoin at 19, 18,000. And then they sold it at 3,000 because they thought it was going to go to zero. Yep. And they didn't want to have like a complete loss.
Yeah.
Logic goes out the window when emotions come into play.
And money's in play too. Yeah.
Ian, man, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for rocking with us, man. Can you tell the people how to contact you, social media handles and all that?
Yeah, my IG is The Master Investor on Facebook. You can just look me up, Ian Dunlap, LinkedIn. You can look me up. The site is joinredpanda.com. If you type in your name and email, I'll add you to the VIP list while I send out some information. And then if you put that you listen from Earn Your Leisure, I'll do a free webinar where I don't sell anything and just teach for 30 minutes. So whenever this comes out a month later, I'll do that. But I want to tell you guys, thank you. I've been following you guys for a long time. I
appreciate that, man.
I appreciate y'all for being cool and putting out the information that you do.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then also, we'll have the link in our YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, in the bio. And then if you're listening to it on Apple, Spotify, whatever, in the description, we'll have a link to your platform as well if people are interested in learning more about your platform.
And I want to say this. Soak up all the information that they put out because 10 years ago, it probably would have cost them $400,000 or $500,000 to put the same material out. Mm. And I wish there were some more brothers I could have listened to 2005, 2004 that would have put out this kind of information. So seriously, like, I'm not ass kissing. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate all the amazing content you guys have put out. So subscribe to the YouTube podcast. Listen every week because there's some gems in here. Like, even for a console, like, I charge $2,000 for a console. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm giving it for free. Like, Wall Street Trapper came on here, gave some great information. There's a ton of great people who are giving because we want to. So once again, thank you guys for putting
appreciate
out.
That.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
H-Town.
Yeah, Houston. We'll be back soon.
We'll be back real soon.
Troy, some housekeeping items?
Yeah, shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. We got a new one right before we came on and did this episode. Shout out to our hometown boy, Chestnut, Keon.
Okay.
Yeah, he joined on Tier 4. So he'll be EYL. Shout out to my boy. We went to school together. We grew up together, played ball together. So shout out to him. He's a Tier 4 member. Dope. And as you can see now, our Patreon has been revamped. So there's some new features that are there for you. And he has access to EYL University, you know, almost as importantly as joining the Patreon. So that is our online school. You know, we do 3 courses a week. Monday is more real estate based. Wednesday is our guest webinar. And Thursday is always myself and Shadi doing something related to business. So shout out to him for joining and everybody that's been on there kicking it with us and asking questions and doing all that, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, EYL University is an online platform, educational platform. You got to teach a class for us.
Yeah,
I'll be happy to.
It goes out guest webinar.
We bring different lecturers on, and it's dope because it's in Zoom. So people ask questions in real time.
Yeah.
And it's a dope experience. So it's something that we're really excited about. And that's 3 days a week. We do different classes on all different topics, bring different people in. EYL University is an extension of the podcast, just a little bit more, way more interactive.
I love that.
EYL University, and then the merch.
Merch is out.
Yeah, assets over liabilities.
Yeah.
I need some sweatshirts myself.
We out of order right now, but we as soon as we re-up, we got you. And the book tip of this week is Technical Analysis Explained. I thought that would be a good fitting book. I read that book, and that's if you're interested in about especially short term trading.
Yeah.
Technical analysis, like reading charts. We didn't even talk about that, but that's something to be aware of. Yeah, to be aware of definitely. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube.
Yeah, subscribe, comment, like, write a review. The reviews are great. Share, all that. Yeah. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. That's a fact, man. And yes, Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Yeah, peace.
Love you all. Thank you.
Welcome to Alumni.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.